These days, we're happy if we even hear the word abating.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Bill Radke. I would like to tell you that over the weekend, the recession reversed itself and everyone can go back to work. Unfortunately, that's not true. But a survey of business economists out this morning does suggest the recession is, quote, abating. The National Association for Business Economics polled experts like Sean Dubravac with the Consumer Electronics Association, who said companies at least are not burdened with a bunch of unsold products.
Unlike previous downturns, companies responded very quickly. They cut their inventory levels early in the correction, and so there's not a significant amount of inventory.
The survey predicts sales will begin to come back next year, and after that, layoffs will finally ease. Now, how is that credit crisis coming? Taxpayers gave banks hundreds of billions of dollars through the Troubled Asset Relief Program, the TARP. Today, the TARP watchdog, the Special Inspector General, Neil Barofsky, is reporting on what the banks are doing with that money. Marketplace's Amy Scott joins us live. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
So what does today's report tell us?
Well, Barofsky surveyed more than 300 banks that accepted bailout money, and he found that most of them have used the money either to make new loans or to avoid a reduction in lending. But they've also used it for a lot of other things, like shoring up capital to protect against losses. Some invested some money, others used it to pay off debts, or in some cases to buy failed banks.
Well, it might be nice if banks did more lending, but if they don't, are they violating any TARP rules?
No. When Congress created the TARP program, the intent, of course, was to boost lending, but there was no process put in place to track how the money was used. There aren't consequences if banks don't increase lending. And you may recall that the real purpose of TARP was to prevent the collapse of the financial system. So arguably, a lot of what the banks have been spending the money on is related to stabilizing the banks. But as part of this report, Barofsky does recommend that the Treasury Department start keeping track of how the money gets spent.
And how is the Treasury responding to this morning's report?
One official made a statement saying that we shouldn't draw conclusions from this survey. Treasury's been reluctant to collect data from all the banks, but the department does keep track of lending. In its most recent survey of 21 big banks that had accepted TARP money, it showed that the number of new loans did increase slightly in May. So, you know, TARP may be working to boost lending after all.
That's Amy Scott, New York Bureau Chief, joining us live. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
One of the banks that got billions of taxpayer dollars under TARP is CIT Group. You may have been hearing a lot about them the last few days. They're one of America's biggest lenders to small businesses, and they've been in danger of becoming the biggest bank failure since Washington Mutual. Well, the latest this morning is CIT has reportedly reached a deal with bondholders for $3 billion in emergency financing. European stocks are hale and hearty this morning, up more than 1%. Asian markets are even higher than that. Last week was a big step forward on Wall Street, with the broader market gaining 7% last week. The Dow gained almost 600 points on the week and closed at 8,743. Oil prices broke above the $64 a barrel level today in Asia. Remember, they had gotten down around 60 bucks not long ago. Strong second quarter company results have been helping to boost investor optimism. And those results will keep coming this week as earnings season rolls on. We're going to hear this week from American Express and Boeing and Caterpillar. Microsoft's earnings come out this week. They should be interesting. Most businesses surveyed recently said they do not plan to upgrade right away to the next version of Windows, which is due out this fall.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
IKEA is a popular spot for affordable, relatively stylish furniture. It's also got a play area called Smallland, where you can leave your kids for a bit while you shop. That's the idea. Well, it seems attendance is up at Smallland. It's sort of a free babysitting service. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
IKEA says some of its stores are taking in 10 to 15% more children at Smarland this year. One of those stores is in Brooklyn. Monica Willis is a regular there. She says childcare is expensive, but IKEA makes it easy to deposit her two kids for an hour or so of play without having to pay $15 to $20.
It's a really, really comfortable place to be, you know, and it's safe. The kids love it. There's so much to do in the small land ball pit. You can't really go anywhere. It's like an indoor play space and it's free.
It's also supervised. The number of staff members goes up, along with the number of kids they have to watch. Willis's 7-year-old daughter Polly loves it.
You can either play in like a ball pit or this giant shoe, or you can watch a movie.
But while Polly and her brother are plunging into a sea of plastic balls or parked in front of a DVD, their mother's often slumped in a chair just out of sight, reading or making some phone calls free of interruptions.
Do you ever use it as an opportunity to actually shop at IKEA?
With the kids, no. Usually we might buy a few small things while we put them in there, but actually mostly we just go to hang out.
IKEA says if a parent chooses to skip the store's aisles, that's fine. The company says it's glad to introduce people to the IKEA experience. Patricia Powell is a retail consultant. Sitting in the cafeteria at the Brooklyn store, she says IKEA is doing well while other home stores suffer, and it's partly because it offers cheap food and free childcare.
Every retailer now is desperate to provide their customers for a reason to walk in the door and spend money. And IKEA has done exactly that with a relatively little amount of money and investment.
Powell says other retailers with space could benefit by having drop-off play areas.
Especially someone like Target, who is really struggling. I think this kind of service is a great way for Target to kind of increase their value to the kind of customer that they want to reach.
Of course, the kind of customer most stores want to reach is one who stays on the premises, even if they don't buy anything. Monica Willis says she knows one parent who parks her child at Smarland, then sneaks off to shop at a nearby supermarket. In Brooklyn, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And I'm Bill Radke. Have a good Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.